Morning. How's everybody doing? Woo! My name is Mike. I am a pastor here. I'm talking to you again. We're continuing our series on temptation. Before we get there, I want to tell you, I appreciate the positive feedback from last week's message. It was interesting. I had some comments, as you always do when you give a message. There was some overwhelming takeaways from my message last week on temptation, and if you were here, you'll get this. But over and over, people came up to me, all different ages came up and kind of asked me the same question after last week's service. And they said, "Did you go to jail?" So let me clear up that story and give you the end of that. So if you remember how our story ended, I did a really stupid senior prank that kind of snowballed into a small thing, into a big thing. The story ended with me being handcuffed and politely escorted into the back of a squad car. And from there, just so you guys know, the people that were caught that night that stopped running were actually a group of really, really good kids and me. So it worked out great. They took us to the district station and they, you know, kind of said, like, these are like really good kids. There's our valedictorian, like the young life person. They're like all these good kids and me. So I got caught with a good group. They let us go. We got to graduate. We had to do a little manual labor after for the damage done, but we got that done. So I didn't go to jail. I'm glad that was your takeaway from my sermon last week. But yeah, so now you guys know the rest of the story. That's a good reference, right? Nice to use a nice relevant Paul Harvey reference for the kids. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, open them up with me to Luke. We're going to look at Luke 10, 38 through 42. We're going to continue this series on temptation. Last week, we looked at the story of David and Bathsheba. We looked at how kind of this small little sin of not being where we're supposed to be and lust kind of snowballed into like this craziness of murder, getting people killed. A child ended up dying as a result of this. It was just a horrible, horrible story. So last week was kind of the, you know, what do we do with bad temptations that we're drawn towards? Like, that's kind of what that talk was. And this week is going to be a little bit different in that we're going to look at temptation still, but we're going to go from the perspective of where are the areas of our life where good intentions have actually turned us to being pulled away from God. So it started as a good thing, but now it's pulling us away from God. So last week was kind of a solution-driven talk, and today will be kind of more of just a call, to be honest, for just recognition in your own life. So if last week, again, easy to say what temptations are you drawn to, the lust, anger, greed, all that stuff quickly comes to mind. Today's gonna be a little bit different. So different that I really just want to focus on you guys thinking about yourselves during this message and where something that you might have in your life might come into play when you hear what we're going to talk about here today, because it is a little tricky and a little bit different, because it's not just the obvious temptation, it's the smaller stuff that kind of pulls us away from God, even when we're doing good things. So if you've got your Bible again, 10:38 through 42, this is the story of Jesus. He visits Mary or Martha and Mary. I'll read it to you. It says this. So this is Jesus. He's trekking along. He's killing it. He's doing all of his stuff. It's going great. Got his disciples. They're going to Jerusalem. It's kind of where we get the story right here. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So this is, raise your hand if you've heard this story before. Yes, most of us have. It's a story that's been read or told or taught a million different times. There's a lot of takeaways from these few verses right here. Takeaways you probably have heard before, like the importance of listening to Jesus, resting in the presence, be a Mary and not a Martha. You've heard that. And my wife's favorite takeaway from this story, this is why I don't cook. just kidding. She's actually in the service. Just kidding. all right. So while the beautiful thing about this story has many different takeaways, we're gonna look at just one today. Today we're gonna look at what happens when the good intentioned things we do sneakily start to tempt us, to pull us away, and to lose sight of God. So I'm going to be honest with you. I think Martha gets a bad rep. I kind of love Martha. I love her personality. I live with a Martha personality or two in my house. Kind of that big, brave, speaks her mind kind of personality. And her faith is large. Martha has large faith. Martha is the sister of Lazarus. So if you remember the story of Lazarus, he dies and Jesus shows up and Mary is very, very upset. But Martha like runs to Jesus and she's like, if you were here, he would have been healed. Like her faith is big. And then when she talks to Jesus, he asks, do you believe who I am? And she says, I have always believed you are the Messiah. So she's got that big, bold, faithful personality. She just slips up in the story, right? She just slips up a tiny bit. Nothing major happens. It's the same way a lot of us slip up when we do good things, but then we get distracted from our focus on God, or we get stressed or end up having our personal motives start to take over. The initial intentions, they start off in the right place, but then our selfish desires and the distractions of the world and the habits of the world start to creep in and we end up pulling away from God. So let's kind of recap this story that we just read, right? So Martha's just posting up at her house. It says it's Martha's house, right? She's ready. She's ready to take care of people if she needs to. She don't need no man. You know what I mean? It's just Martha. This is just her house right there. She's just her. It's her house. It says it. It's her house. Martha is at her house, right? And she opens up her house to Jesus and all his disciples. Her sister is there, ready to serve. They're going to show some hospitality. This was completely and entirely the appropriate thing to do. This is what should be happening. That's first century stuff. If people show up, you're taking care of those people. Nothing wrong here. Good stuff so far. But then, right, so pay attention here. She starts to get a little bit overwhelmed, right? A lot going on, and her focus shifts from hospitality and focusing on her guests to the distractions of what isn't happening, right, and what she wants to happen. There's a lot of work to do in the story and not a lot of time to do it, and on top of the work to be done, her sister is just chilling on the ground sitting at Jesus' feet while she's working, right? And did I mention that Martha is a bit sassy, right? She is sassy. She comes to Jesus seemingly as he's teaching, if we can kind of picture this scenario. He's teaching. Martha is so worked up right now, right? He doesn't come to her. She goes to him and just kind of lays into Jesus with her problem and says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? And I mean, if we're honest, kind of all been there before, right? Like we've been in that situation of like, hello, like this is what I'm doing. If you have kids, if you have more than one kid, this is like 95% of your fights or like how something is unfair because they're doing something and the other one isn't doing that thing, right? Then she ditches the question, right? She asks the question and she just doesn't even wait for the answer, right? She just ditches the question, doesn't wait for the answer, goes straight to the resolution she wants to see. She says, tell her to come and help me. She demanded Jesus, who is teaching, tell Mary to come and help. She was heated right now, right? Like worked up in a frenzy about this, right? Can't you just, you can like almost hear like the crickets in that room when this is going on, like Jesus and his disciples and Mary. And she comes and says this, like, can't you just like, just picture like his disciples and Mary are like, oh my goodness, like not making eye contact. It's just complete silence in that room. And Jesus, of course, stays calm. And he tells her, you are worried and upset over all of these details. Another interpretation of this in Greek would say, you are anxious and troubled about many things. Then he says, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it. You see, Mary discovered the importance of making Jesus the focus and the priority. If Martha's heart would have been focused on serving and listening and just taking in what was going on with Jesus, there wouldn't have been a problem. Jesus doesn't call her out for cooking. He calls her out for her cooking, pulling her away from him because it distracts her from focusing on him. Martha's sin and her temptation in this story is not to cook. Her sin and temptation is that she got caught up in the busyness and distractions of life and how she wanted it to go. And she was pulled away from the most important thing, Jesus. She got busy and lost focus of the important thing while her desires to have what she wanted started to take over. Can anyone see where this is going for us today? Right? The word distracted that we see in that story is a Greek word. We're going to learn some Greek today. You ready? Paraspao. Say paraspao. I mean, some of you did it, not everybody. It's fine. It's a verb. It means this. It means to draw away, right? Or to distract. Might also use it to say, like, to be overoccupied, too busy about a thing. But the one I want to focus on is this idea of to draw away. She was being pulled away, right? She was paraspao. This is a dangerous word for believers. Because if you remember what James says, chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Some translations, in the way you might have heard this before, says to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. So anything for us Christians that draws us away from God is a dangerous spot to be. And there are obvious things in our lives that draw us away from God, right? We talked about a lot of those temptations last week. Clearly, anything that you thought of last week when we talked about temptation draws you away from God. But I think equally as dangerous are the temptations that we have to draw away from God when we're doing something that isn't really that bad, right? So picture this if you can. Martha's doing a good thing for the right reasons, but because of busyness and stress, she's drawn away, right, paraspao, from where her focus needs to be, and her emotions and stress take over. We do this, don't we? We start off as believers seeking God's will, going down the path he is leading us and the things that we're doing. We're doing what he's calling us to do. We're doing our best in order to bring him glory and honor and behave in a way that is good and pleasing to him. The intentions are pure, and the initial goal is probably to draw near to God. It's certainly not to distance ourselves from him. But then, as the world does what the world does, the good things we do with good and pure intentions slowly start to distract us from Jesus, and we lose focus. We let our desires and our distractions start to be the why for the things we're doing, and we begin to draw away from God in the process. So the temptation we all face as believers is to let our desires and distractions, our paraspao, take priority over our initial good intentions to draw near to God, even if the task stays the same. So here's what I'm talking about. I'm gonna give you some examples here, right? Martha and her hospitality. We've already talked about this. Let's go again, right? She starts with good intentions, to be appropriately hospitable to a group that has come to her house, and the focus starts off on Jesus. Nothing bad here, right? But then she gets overwhelmed with stress and anger at her sister. Her intentions were good, but her desires and distractions pull her away from Jesus, right? She doesn't stop cooking, but her reasoning and focus has changed. That's the temptation she gave into. She lost sight of the important thing, and that's Jesus. Here's some other ones. How about this? Social media, right? Started with really good intentions, right? We're gonna see what friends are up to. We're gonna give some life updates to the people who care in our lives, and we're gonna see some funny videos of cats falling out of trees, right? Like, that's like where we started with social media. All good, not bad, not harmful. Maybe a nice break for your brain, right? Fine. But then what happens? Then we get pulled away from those good intentions by getting obsessed with likes, or making sure each pic that we post is perfect, or comparing ourselves to others, or hanging out a little too long on pics we probably shouldn't be looking at, or we get into political hate and arguments, right? Maybe social media started as a way for you to show off your family, and now it's turned into a platform that actually has you ignoring your family. Intentions were good, but our desires and distractions pull us away, and our motives shift. We don't stop getting off of social media, but our reasoning and focus just changes. How about this one? Busyness. Look, it's good to keep a schedule. I don't think anyone's upset at that. Don't be lazy. Fantastic. Work hard for the Lord. Bring him glory in all the things you do. Intentional schedule to help us draw near to God. That's fantastic. We don't want to just sit at home and do nothing all day. Get out there and do stuff. Awesome. Having a full schedule, I'm for it. I'm pro schedule. But then what happens? We get pulled away from that intent, right? To have a full schedule to bring glory to God, to draw near to God. And then stress and anxiety and feeling like we constantly have to be doing something or buying something or going somewhere, or you start skipping things like eating with your family because you're so busy, being content, you stop going to church or praying or resting because you're on the run so much. Just put yourself in a bad spot. The intentions were good and godly to start, but your desires and distractions pull you away. You didn't stop having a full schedule. That's not the thing that changed. The thing that changed was that your reasoning and focus shifted. We lose sight of the important thing when we allow our desires and distractions to take over. Let's pick on Christians for a while. Going to church, right? Started going to church. You can remember when you started making the decision to go to church, right? It's probably because it was life-giving, right? You had community. You were refreshed. It brought your family together. You were honoring and worshiping and drawing close to God. All good stuff. Then you start kind of having lots of life happen, right? We still go to church, but not as much. And it's kind of always a grind because you have lots going on. Life is hard. Might rather sleep in on that day because we're so busy. Maybe it rained that morning, right? It becomes a checkbox at the bottom of your list, and you go because you have to go. You get pulled away from your original why. The intentions were good and scriptural and appropriate, but your desires and distractions pull you away from those initial intentions. You don't stop going to church, but your reasoning and your focus has just changed. Can you see how this is dangerous? Preaching, let's pick on me. Let's pick on pastors for a while, right? Teaching, preaching, all the things that come with this job. My goal, my heart is I've prayed about this and I feel called that I'm supposed to do this and I've studied and I've prepped and I want to deliver a message where God speaks through me to the folks who need it. That is the initial intention of speaking and teaching and preaching for most people that stand on this stage. But what happens a lot is pride and ego start to sink in, right? And it becomes obsessed. People become obsessed with making sure that they sound super smart or funny or really want to say something that will bring me back some praise so that the focus kind of becomes on me and what a great message that was. The intentions were good, right, to start, but my desires and my distractions do what? Pull me away. Don't stop giving messages. But my reasoning and my focus change. How about this one? Some of you aren't gonna like this one at all. Kids sports, uh-oh. And let me say this, I love kids sports so much. I think there's almost nothing that can prepare your kids for their walk as a Christian as much as the lessons learned and attributes attained from playing youth sports. Community, hard work, perseverance, dealing with failure, opposition, overcoming adversity, camaraderie, fun, learning to give it all to bring glory to God, the balance of merging of sports and your walk with the Lord, learning to keep church a priority while still playing a busy sport. Plus, if you're a parent, you get to hang out with your kid all the time. It's awesome. I can go on and on. I love sports more than anybody that you know. And these are all things, the things we talked about, that as a believer, each child will benefit from as they get older in their walk with Christ. And those things that they learn on the field or the court will help strengthen them as Christians. Sports are good. Things are good. But what seems to happen a lot is the importance of winning and keeping up, or a kid's going on to be Division I athletes, or the fear of getting behind or not playing enough start to take precedence over our initial attentions to create these strong Christian boys or girls. And before we know it, the benefit we started off seeking becomes an afterthought, if we can even squeeze it in. Intentions are great to start, But desires and busyness start to pull us away and we start to lose focus. So the list of things that tempt us that are good things, but that we just get pulled away from can go on and on. And I don't really have notes for you today. I don't have points for you today. But if you're taking any notes or you want something to write down, I want you to write down this question, all right? It's this. What is your paraspao? Don't check my grammar on that. Not positive that works. Right? What area of your life are you doing something that started for the right reasons with good intentions? Reasons that were good and pleasing to the Lord and that were meant to allow you to draw near to God. But because of stress or busyness or desires, you've distanced yourself from God in the process. The problem is that usually when we stop drawing near to God, you know what we do? We start drawing away from him. We might keep doing good things, but our new motives take over, and that's a really, really dangerous place to land. Jesus kind of talks about this a lot in great detail in Matthew 6. It's a Sermon on the Mount. He's preaching. I'm going to read these to you. I'm going to read you four verses. Three are from Matthew 6. One is from Matthew 23. They'll be up behind me here. This is Jesus teaching his Sermon on the Mount, right? The most famous teaching ever. The Sermon on the Mount is so good. You should go back and read it this week. It's just so good. All right, this is Jesus. Matthew 6, 2, 5, and 16. Verse 2 says, "When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get." Verse 5, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get." Verse 16 says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get." He goes on in Matthew 23 to kind of start bashing some teachers and Pharisees. It says, "What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity." This word hypocrite, as we use it today, is not how he meant it then, right? This word, hypocrites, look, more Greek. Everyone say hypocrites. It doesn't mean what we kind of mean, where we say one thing and do another. It kind of means, it comes from the word of like a stage actor or a pretender, or in this instance, kind of a religious counterfeit. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project kind of describes a hypocrite, as used here in Matthew, as someone who does the right thing for the wrong reasons. So if we look at these examples in Matthew, we can see some good things happening, right? That probably started happening with good intentions. But that started to shift because of the desires of the heart, and the result ends up with no benefit to the kingdom whatsoever. It's just surface level good stuff. The right things done for the wrong reasons. So the challenging part about today is to not identify solutions for how you get back to your initial good intentions. That's not what we're talking about today. The challenging part is for you just to take some time this week to look at your life and be honest with yourself. To go to God and have him help you recognize and identify, where are you paraspao? Where are you being pulled from him? Maybe there are areas where you're doing the right thing, but maybe the reasons have shifted and they're no longer the right reasons. What areas of your life started as good intentioned areas, but somehow, some way, you became distracted, or your focus and heart became more about your desires than your initial intention to bring glory to God and to draw near to him? Is it work? Is it your phone? Is it your marriage? Is it your appearance? Is it your kids' sports, your parenting, your schedule, your prayer life? It's hard to self-evaluate, right? Because so many of us, and I'm in this, have become so good at convincing ourselves that even though we've kind of been pulled from God, it's still okay because it's still a good thing that we're doing. Or maybe it feels good. Or maybe we're just kind of too busy to even stop and notice, just like Martha, just like the Pharisees. And the fasters and the prayers and the givers, Jesus calls hypocrites in Matthew. Do you guys remember the story in 1 Samuel? Samuel's looking for the next king, right? God sent him to look for the next king. And he's got this group of guys, and he's positive who he thinks it probably is. And it ends up being none of those guys. Remember this? It's when David gets anointed king, right? And God says this, "The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what? The heart. See, we can fool the world by doing good things. We can even fool ourselves. But God isn't interested in us doing things for the wrong reasons. God's interested in our heart." So this week, your challenge is to evaluate what's going on in your life. What's going on in your heart? I want you to pray this week for God to reveal to you areas where you're starting to look a little bit too much like Martha in this story. Areas where you're being tempted and pulled away from God. Even and especially if those areas are doing things that aren't even bad things. What is your perispao, right? Areas where distraction and anxiety and stress are keeping you from your good intentions to live a life that is good and pleasing to the Lord. A life that you intend and that you intended to draw near to God with. A life where your focus was on Him. Remember this, right? Talked about this last week. Satan is always at work. Does not sleep. Does not rest. And he might not get you with this blatant, obvious temptations like the stuff we talked about last week. But he will do his best to find the cracks, right? And to do whatever it takes to pull you away from God. That is his only mission, is to pull you away from God, right? To seek, kill, and destroy, to pull you away from God. Don't give Satan that power. Pay attention and recognize your perispao this week. Write down those areas. Utilize that spirit that lives inside you to recognize the areas, good and bad, where you are drawing away from God. Give God a chance to reveal something to you this week that maybe it's hard to see ourselves. So, how do we keep these intentions good, right? We have intentions. How do we keep them good? How do we keep from getting distracted and stressed and pulled away from Jesus? How can we look a little bit more like Mary in this story? I'm going to tell you, if you're wondering the answer to those, you got to come back next week. And we're going to talk about that. So instead of giving you a 45-minute message today, you get a 25-minute message. And I want you to take some time. You got an extra 10 minutes that you would have had for this sermon when I got the full length. Take 10 minutes this week to do what I'm asking you to do. Like really ask God to reveal something to you, or you've had something that started off with good intentions, but has shifted and started to pull you away from God. Because remember, the goal for believers is this, to know this. To draw near to God, he'll do what? He'll draw near to us. So we want to do everything in our power to keep drawing near and to not perispao and get pulled away. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity to get to talk again to this group. God, temptation stuff is always so tricky because it's always so, so convicting. But Lord, I hope that we know that there's hope in all of these things and that there's a solution in all these things. And that solution is just to do what Martha stopped doing, and that was to keep the focus on you. So God, there's lots of big and bad temptations in our life that are obvious to us, but there's also lots of stuff that pulls us away from you that's sneaky that we might not see. And for a lot of us, it started off and maybe even is still a good thing that we're doing, but the intentions have shifted. We kept doing those right things, but the reasons became wrong. And so God, I just pray this week for a bit of more conviction for those in this room, that they take some time to really self-evaluate and to look at their life into areas where they are getting drawn away from you. And Lord, help us to focus on how to get closer to you and to pay attention to those areas and recognize those areas and write down those areas and to evaluate kind of what happened to get them there in the first place and to remember why they started doing the things that they're doing that were good, and that was to be good and pleasing to you, to live a life that you had called us to live, to bring you glory and honor so that we may draw close to you, and as a result, you draw near to us. So God, again, I thank you for every person in this room. I pray that you'll take them home safe. I thank you for this rain that we've gotten. And I just thank you again for your word and this story that we've heard a million times before and how it might speak to us a little bit differently today than it ever has. We thank you for your word never returning void. And we thank you again for this church and this congregation and the people here and for the opportunity to speak. In your name we pray. Amen.